Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Sandra Birchmore, she was a 23-year-old young woman who had found out she was pregnant, 3 months pregnant, at the time of her demise. But the story doesn't start there, and it doesn't end there. It goes all the way back to the age of 12, when she first encountered police officer Matthew Farwell, who was part of the Police Explorer program in the community, normally a good, positive thing. Except in this case, she was starting to get groomed at the age of 12, 15, having sex with Matthew Farwell, although the correct term would be statutory rape, and eventually getting pregnant with his child at age 23. And as the allegation goes, he wasn't too happy about that coming out, so her life was ended. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. And this case goes beyond Matthew Farwell as well. There's so much to unpack here. Let's just kind of start at the beginning, before we go into any of the specific details. What was your reaction to this story when you first started to hear the details?
It's just appalling. You know, the idea that we have people in law enforcement who are grooming teenagers, and you know, even the allegations that are, you know, we don't know if everything alleged here is true, but the allegations that there were multiple officers involved, multiple people aware of what was going on. It's just a nightmare. I think it's something that in no civil society can we tolerate having, you know, predators and law enforcement. It's just despicable.
These are the ones we find out about. I'm not anti-police or anything like that, but I'm anti just bad people. And there seems to be a lot of bad people. There seems to be a lot of bad people in the police. And there's sometimes good people that cover for bad people, which in turn ends up making them a bad person as well. Yeah. And there's a lot of that in this case. I mean, there's a lot of elements of this case that kind of remind me of Ellen Greenberg a bit, where it's like, okay, let's have the ruling of this with the medical examiner be suicide. And it finally, years later, someone goes, that doesn't quite seem very right. And it's changed to suicide in this case. Luckily, the family didn't have to take it to the Supreme Court to get that done, which is still in process in the other case. But eventually they do change it to suicide and things start going downhill very quick. Let's talk about that a little bit, because in this case, we have this murder that takes place in February of 2021, just a month after what they're calling person number two, a friend of Sandra's that knows the story, knows the backstory of the abuse all the way down to the age of 15. And they're adults now. She's 23. But she knows the story. And she thinks, you know, there's going to be other people out there. These predators don't just, you know, they don't just have one and done usually. And she wants to protect other people. So she, on her own, calls the police department, talks to the person that's named as person number five in these reports, who works a police dispatcher at the police station, and tells them about the abuse, what happened there. And at this point, it's just allegations. But what happens with that information? It goes directly to Farwell. It doesn't go to HR. It doesn't go to a captain or somebody above to go, maybe we should take a look at this. Let's go tell Farwell directly. What is that? I mean, what kind of dynamic is that where that seems to be the right course of action? I'm sure this person didn't expect to get that phone call that day or even knew that information possibly, but they knew and they felt the right thing to do is to take it directly to the person that is the proposed perpetrator.
Yeah, systemic failure, absolute failure. There's got to be policies and procedures in place when a report is made about an officer. And clearly, whatever was in place was not followed here. It's just abominable.
Is that because reports just don't get followed up on in some departments, period? Like, report all you want and nothing's going to ever change or nothing's ever going to happen. We see it in many departments around the country where you hear of allegations. Sometimes, you know, the allegations are damn well true, maybe very difficult to be proven, but they just still stay on. And you know damn well that back within the department, others must know the truth about this person, but they just continue on until something really gets pushed to the point of you can't deny it anymore. I mean, I know that happens in more than just the police department. It happens in the larger organizations and things of that nature as well. But why is it where you have good people who are not involved in the circle of darkness, as we'll call it, but they get the information and they feel, well, I better just do this with it.
Yeah, when you have a closed system in that kind of a cohesive group, you've got to have outside accountability somehow. And I don't know enough, having not actually worked in a police department, mm-hmm. to know what the best way to have that outside accountability is. But I think that involves government, and we've got to be vocal about mm-hmm. the need for, you know, we've got to feel safe with law enforcement, yeah. and we've got to demand that.
Do we need something, and we're speaking specifically about law enforcement right now, but I'm sure this could be applied outside of it in areas that are fairly corrupt, Catholic Church being one of them when yeah. it comes to molesting kids. But this, just for the sake of this specific argument, and I'm sick to death of hearing this, because I watched an interview this morning about it on Court TV, and it was just the typical, oh, bad apples. I'm sick of the bad apple. I'm sick of the bad apple remark of, oh, it's just a bad... I think we're at a state here in some of these departments where you have... Because it looks like this is going to go deeper than just him. Where it's no, you have bad trees. You have a bad orchard. And at some point, the orchard is just so infested with worms and grubs and crap, you have to tear the trees down because they're never going to survive anymore. So this whole, oh, it's a bad apple. There's bad apples and everything. Yes, there are, but sometimes it's just so infested you have to tear the damn forest down. Now, it's not a way of saying, let's not have police. I think that's idiotic, but there needs to be some sort of systemic, let's plow this shit down and restart from the ground up, because this little plucking the bad apples out of the infested trees doesn't seem to be working very well.
Yeah, definitely. Agree with you completely. There's something dirty in the system when mm-hmm. you have multiple people involved in this kind of behavior, these kind of conspiracies, grooming of kids. You know, there's a system that stinks, and we need complete accountability from them.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.